because I think I was pregnant with Gabriel when the incident happened with Trayvon. Or either I just had him. He was a newborn. I remember holding Gabriel in my arms and just busting out in tears.
Wow.
Thinking about the last moments of Trayvon Martin's life.
Wow.
And thinking about my kids' future. So when I tell you, that was, what, like 7, 8 years ago?
Man, that was crazy.
And it just happens day and day. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that's on the news, that's not even like probably a quarter of the stuff that happens every day in small towns everywhere. So it's just like the trauma of it all. I'm just exhausted of even talking about it. And
didn't she get out on bail or something like that? She resigned. That's what it was, Mila. So she resigned. How you resign?
Allowed to resign. Not
so they
fired.
Arrest you. Let's bring it back. So not fired.
So you get to resign with your benefits. Wow. With your packing. What else
wow.
you get?
Wow. So you
what
kill you somebody, get? You get paid. You get,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
She didn't even get arrested at that point.
We got to stop this. This has to stop because eventually someone is really going to get hurt. Well, not somebody going to get hurt. Our culture and our climate, again, people are fighting. Like we got on the back of our, in our studio, things like that. Black lives do matter. What's up, guys? It's your boy, Coach B.
Hey, y'all. It's the infamous Cammy. I'm back in the building. Wow. I heard y'all was missing me in these streets.
So it's the infamous? That's so she no, come back saying
like
the infamous.
You know, I like, you know, 2021, you know, you heard about me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a new one. So we're coming
you.
Back with the infamous. Okay, I like that. Infamous. All right. So,
but I don't know. Yeah, because that's have like a negative connotation to it. But,
right.
you know, a girl is bad, though. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
She bad.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's true. That's true. So what's been up, man? For first of all, thank you to all our people that have been out there supporting the viewers and also everybody just supporting our team, man. Our team is phenomenal. Let me tell you that for one. I'm so thankful for the group of people that we have that's working and supporting us. So I know everybody question since you mentioned it, everybody been like, where has me been? Where has me been? Do you want to answer that question or you just want to leave it?
Of course I'm going to answer it. You know, I'm here for the people. And the people are here for me. You know what Cammy been doing?
What have you been doing?
Cammy has been a mother of three.
Okay.
With a job and
that's true,
and needing some rest for mental health. Okay, and a wife. Okay?
That's true. That's true.
And a daughter. What else? A
two jobs. Two jobs. Because you actually got the two jobs. So you got.
No, I actually
that.
Had like three. No, I was hitting four.
Ooh.
I was doing a lot of things.
You was grinding like that.
I was doing too much.
You was grinding like
if
that.
If you ask me, and most people that know me, yeah. So I had to sort of reestablish some boundaries. We had a whole thing about that. We even had a counseling session about that. You remember that? You recall
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's true.
I think Coach B's feelings got hurt in the counseling session. But because yeah. you know, the truth, you know, came out. I mean, not that it was something hidden, but it was just like, you know, Cammy just needs some rest and I need to just figure some things out. So I actually, you know, really love the podcast and doing this, but it's about rebalancing and bringing back what I need to do.
So all of this during the pandemic, you worked 3 to 4 jobs. What's crazy about it, we got the new studio, guys. So I know if you guys watching right now, we're in a new studio setup. Hats off to a lot of the guests that came in before that was definitely
Absolutely.
Coming in. Yeah, I thought they stepped up when you came, you know, when you was out for that couple of months or whatever. But the great thing about it is we actually built a lot of things. We started a couple of great episodes that we did. And then we also got some really great guests that's going to be on coming up soon.
Yeah. So, you're getting into that kind of early.
Well, but not really, but, you know, I was just in general, just speaking about, you know, this is the first time Cammy and Coach B back on, you know what
in
I'm saying?
In 2021.
Yeah, it feels kind of funny though. Like, I'm excited.
It does. You feel it does. Funny around me, sir?
Not really, but it's like I'm talking back to my wife. Like, I've been talking to a lot of strangers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm
on an everyday basis.
I'm just saying, I got to keep it realistic right now. You know what I'm saying? But it's
you miss me. That's what you wanted to say.
I did.
So, won't you tell the audience how much you love me?
I do. But we ain't got time for that because it's so much.
I'm just going to cut that part short.
don't say that, man. I'm really saying, like, yo, I really cherish the moment that you have been around because sometimes you don't realize how important your spouse is. And so for me, I really enjoy, like, wow, I really cherish every moment that you have been around. So mm-hmm. it's like, wow, not having you, I can just imagine, like, wow, what if something happens? You know what I'm saying? Like, life still got to go on, but
hey,
it's like,
that's deep.
Nah,
you had thought about it that way.
Just keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? Just keeping it real. So,
you know, so just thinking about what, you know, you were just asking me. Funny thing is, I sent some to a few of my friends on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's a post from Viola Davis, and it was wonderful.
Okay.
Just all in right. terms of, I say Black women in particular, because I just feel like Black women in general deal with this. It says signs of the superwoman syndrome. And I think that's something I had. What you think? And you know why I say that?
Yeah, I'm about to say
because so, I think what?
Yeah.
Over the, what were you about to say?
No, I'll just explain to me what that means. I need to know.
I was, the reason why it kind of hit me, of course, when I go through the signs of a superwoman syndrome, you guys will hear more, but I've said that to people over years, including you. Like, this is a lot. I'm not superwoman. I don't want to be superwoman anymore. Like, I'm tired. I want to retire my cape. I don't want to have to be the it girl to figure out everything, do this. The one that everybody come to, you know, you just get exhausted. So this is interesting because I sent this, I think it was today or yesterday. It's five signs that they put. One is cannot be dependent on help from others, will not be vulnerable. Ooh, that's like big right there. I don't think that has been me like recently.
Okay.
But I would say like in my early 20s, definitely to feel like you just got to do so much stuff on your own. Like nobody will be there for you. You just got to do it. It's like that independent woman type of thing. Mm. I don't think it's necessarily like we want to be like that, but sometimes you just feel like nobody's going to catch you when you fall. So you do it yourself.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
So that's one of them. Yeah. What do you think about that one? You think I moved past that point?
Well, I would say yes. But then also I would say the questioning part on it, because one of the parts kind of was more of like feeling, what was it again? Like feeling just
it says,
like,
cannot be dependent on help from others.
Yeah, like
will not be vulnerable.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm vulnerable.
You did get help for me. So you know what I'm saying? So I think the vulnerable part, yeah, like with other people, because sometimes you could be too nice, even in your job. And I'd be like, yo, have that ramification.
I know in the past it's always been hard for me to ask for help, like even if I need it. And it's not because I thought I was superwoman, it's because I don't want to be a burden on other people. So I will feel guilty asking for help. And
makes sense.
I think that's a lot of childhood stuff, though. But
yeah.
Next one is obligation to present an image of strength always.
Wow. That's good.
Woo, child. Woo. I tell you, that's a lot of Black women in particular. Just having to feel like you have to be strong through hurt, humiliation, anger. You just have to put on this, okay, I'm calm and I'm strong and I'm all put together. Mm. And it's like, I think because we get labeled so many horrible things sometimes. So
I'm glad you said that, because remember I called you, man, you've been having some beef. And so we ain't gonna even go there. But at the same time, I remember, like you just said, that feel like everything got to come on your shoulders. And us being married for almost 17 years of being married for at least 14 years, about to be 14 coming up. But it kind of made me recognize, like, even when I called you something, I was like, I just want to apologize. Cause that's a long time. I just want to apologize for the years we've been together. You know what I'm saying? All the hurt and the barriers.
Like,
you know?
The last week, y'all, I was touched by it. Like, that's the thing about relationships. And one of my friends asked about that a couple of weeks ago. Like, how do y'all do it? Like, you and Coach B seem to, like, manage stuff and get through stuff. I had to sit and think for, like, a half a second and say, you know what? It's work. It's literally work. You have to put in work. It's not easy. Marriage is not for the faint or the weak, baby. It is hard work and really just that commitment of not giving up and humbling yourself to change and do what's right. Or even not even like that too, like when you're hurt, not be on the get back and be like, I'm going to get you back or go off on every single thing. It's like that forgiveness part.
Yeah. And it was partially of my pride though. I think as a man, we grow up with this pride thing, this image to not apologize. Like I was talking to one of my friends, I'm like, yo, like he has been married for like 30 years. And I was like, yo, when the last time have you apologized to your wife? He was like, huh? I apologize all the time. I was like, no. The past 30 years that have built up when you can't even have that basic conversation no more because you have let it build up so much. And so it can get really stressful over time. And I like what Pastor Battle said. Shout out to Keith Battle, our pastor, man. Big shout out to Pastor Battle. We learned a lot. from Pastor Battle and Green Belt of Zion too. Big shout out to them.
Pastor E and his wife.
Yeah, big time, Miss Cheryl. But it was one thing that they said, Pastor Battle said, in the past years, you have married somebody different every single time.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, I remember that clip cool. He put up. It was from a sermon. Like, it's like you're marrying a different person. Yeah. So you want to go back to this?
The
superwoman syndrome part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. We're on the third one. Let me get through this real fast. We're talking about a lot of stuff, though. It's good.
Oh, we are. That's good.
Yeah. Another sign of the superwoman syndrome, obligation to suppress emotions. Now, I know a lot of women like that. I think in my marriage, I definitely don't suppress my emotion. But that's probably the one thing I don't do. Mm. But I would say outwardly, like job, even with friends, sometimes I'll suppress things because I'm trying to show that strength. Mm. Like, you're okay. You're put together, I guess. And I don't know, like, why do I have to show that? But another one is superwoman syndrome, motivated to succeed against all odds. And that's absolutely me and so many people I know. And I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing. But again, it makes you feel like you have to do things and put in certain situations and you have to be the one, the it person, because you will succeed no matter what. Like, you can never show any signs of weakness. So it's just like too much at a point. And the last one is, has a responsibility to put others before herself. Oh, that's me all day. And again, there's nothing wrong with that when you do it in balance. But I would say putting others before myself will be a daily thing. And I'm like, when's the last time I treated myself out or done something or saved something or bought myself something?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the issue. We don't want any superwoman syndrome. So, ladies or guys who have women that they love in their lives going through all those things.
Listen, so in the background, if you hear any coughing, y'all, that's how I've directed, guys. He is coughing his butt off. So if you hear some coughing on this podcast show, understand it's not chemicals. We don't have corona, okay?
Don't have it. Don't do that,
but
Johnny.
At the same time, I know we are COVID-free. I just want to let you know, guess what? But at the same time, we want to make sure he was good. So if you hear that, shout out to my man, Donnie. Go ahead, babe. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you have women in your lives, or you're that woman, you got to break through that. That's not natural or healthy. So break through that cycle. I already said, like, I'm breaking it. So that can explain a little bit why I kind of shut down on some things. Mm. It's hard to break through certain things. And you're just always pushing yourself to the point you're just like exhausted.
Makes sense.
And have no room for yourself. And that messes with your mental health.
Nah, makes sense. So I know we was talking about a couple of topics that we want to address. I figure since the while we've been away, I know one of the topics that we definitely want to address, how another teenager gets shot when the officer actually had the situation where she thought the gun. Well, she said she thought it wasn't the actual real gun. She said she thought it was a taser gun. So that kind of made me realize, like, okay, this is something that's got to stop. It just have to stop. This young man was young. I mean, 22, I believe. At the same time, as a young male, having a son really made me realize, like, yo, I need to realize, like, the danger of my child is so important, you know, and thank God myself is just like, even the guy in the military, you know, he was in the military force. And when he pulled over, I thought, like, yo, what's going on with United States of America? Like, this racism stuff is crazy. And you can have somebody shoot up the whole building and you walk them out like they not a terrorist, like they are not. And they don't even die. So you give them the benefit of the doubt and you really get a young man that you just simply pulled over. This is a simple pullover arrest and you take it to that level.
It's not even an arrest. It's like tags, traffic violation, like signaling that wouldn't even be an arrest, but it results in death.
So what's your thought on that? How you felt about that? Just overall?
Honestly, I mean, it's so many cases. Unfortunately, I am just so exhausted. Like I said earlier, I'm tired of sort of just talking about Black trauma. And I know it's weird. It's like we can never be tired of it because it's for our benefit to talk about it and protest against it. But when I tell you, Black people, we are exhausted and weary, and this bothers your mental health again. So it's like you got to take breaks from these things. You know, I know about a 13-year-old child in Chicago that was killed.
Latino kid. That's good.
Shot in his chest, killed dead. For what? And then the police cover up things and try to say, oh, I was scared. They had a weapon. And so many lies that they put on it. It's just like, I don't even read these stories and the details or watch the videos anymore because my heart can't take it. Like, it's exhausting. I feel like I've been going through this since, well, it's actually been like forever, but I think when we were thinking about like how long, I can remember Trayvon. Right. Is when it really started to hit me and affect me because I think I was pregnant with Gabriel when the incident happened with Trayvon, or either I just had him. He was a newborn. I remember holding Gabriel in my arms and just busting out in tears.
Wow.
Thinking about the last moments of Trayvon Martin's life. Wow. And thinking about my kid's future. So when I tell you, that was what, like 7-8 years ago?
Man, that was crazy.
And it just happens day and day. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that's on the news, that's not even like probably a quarter of the stuff that happens every day in small towns everywhere. So it's just like the trauma of it all. I'm just exhausted of even talking about it. And
didn't she get out on bail or something like that? She resigned. That's what it was, Mila. So she resigned. How you resign?
Allowed to resign.
So they arrest you. Let's bring it back. So not fired.
So you get to resign with your benefits.
Wow. So you kill somebody, you get paid.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She didn't even get arrested at that point.
We got to stop this. This has to stop because eventually someone is really going to get hurt. Well, not somebody going to get hurt. Our culture and our climate, again, people are fighting. Like we got on the back aisle in our studio, things like that. Black lives do matter. And it's so important where we're supporting each other. And that's the crazy thing. Like, yo, all my people that's listening to this podcast or even watching it on the broadcast and right now watching a video, like, you have to realize, like, your voice matter. Like, you have to realize, like, you can't keep watching television. You can't keep complaining. You got to make those phone calls. You got to go down. You got to volunteer. Every single thing matters. That's
one thing that I have done, though.
That's very true.
I've called police stations. I've called city councilmen, mayor's offices. I do things like that because it's sort of that thing, like, what do you do? We protested.
We did.
So I do things like that. It's all still traumatic to see it keep happening. And you think about these kids growing up without parents. It's just so heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to the parents, man, and the moms and the dad, man, that I saw them did on CNN. The parents just said they wanted justice. They wanted justification as they're doing the George Floyd case right now. So hopefully the jury will make the right decision, inclusive of not just that officer and those three people that sat there and watched that going on. And so hopefully the right thing happens on there.
That verdict's supposed to come out this week. So they got all these people on standby. You know, they canceled school for that, too. They canceled school for the verdict because
it's
if
important.
It comes back not guilty, it's going to be hell in that city.
That's real.
But check this out. You know what I saw the other day?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't want to stay on this topic.
No, we about to. Yeah, we're going to change it. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I'm sort of low with it. My demeanor is just a lot for me at this point. But the same week they showed a white man in a truck, police cornered him in Minnesota. Same state, I think, you know, not too far where those other deaths occurred. And he's like revving up his engine, hitting police cars. One police is like at the driver's door, like trying to get the white man out of the vehicle. White man don't care. He pulls off with the officer on the truck. He flies down the highway with the officer on the thing, basically dragging the officer with the car. Not one bullet. Wow. Rang out on this white man.
Wow, I didn't
hear. And that's what I'm saying. That's like crazy. They try to act like it's all these different things and training. It's not about training. It's about people who just don't care about your humanity. So my thing is, I'm not going to beg you and ask you and train and let you know about how human I am. You're not going to care.
That's right.
So I'm going to live my life.
That's good.
Like, I don't need you and you need to stay out of my area and my community. That's how I'm going to carry on my life, is that you're a threat. And so you need to stay out of my community and my
That's
space.
Real. That's real.
That's the way I see it.
That's real.
So I'm all with defunding the police.
Having a hard time deciding on what to get your man this holiday season? No worries. Mattoon Soap Company has you covered. The all-natural, organic, and vegan skincare line has skincare grooming products that will keep your man on point. Check out Mattoon Soap Company's amazing skincare product line at MattoonSoapCompany.com. Happy holidays. to your family from our family, Mattoon Soap Company.
So you already heard that, how my wife feels. She's very passionate about it, but we're going to move on to the next subject. I know you had a good topic that you brought up. It was pretty much leading about the conversation just where we actually looked into. I believe we was actually going to speak about, I had thought about it and I just went blank just now because all that right, really gets me with that go. Killing.
Well,
though.
Gosh, it
really
it's just a whole nother. I mean, I just feel really like does, it's a somber show we so, have today.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, but what's up, guys? We're going to bring it back up, you know.
But no, because the next bit. Somber moment is DMX.
Oh, man, that was tough right there.
Like his passing. I figured when I heard the news about him going into a coma and how they found him, that he wasn't going to make it. So that in itself just kind of had me. I had time to grieve, to be honest, but DMX, you know, he meant a lot to so many people. And I know I've always loved DMX, but with his passing, I realized like, wow, how much of an effect that he really had on me. Because I just remember him coming out when I was in high school, well, maybe 11th or 12th grade year or something. But his albums was one of the first ones that I had from like hip hop, like hardcore hip hop. And I love DMX. And even though he had like this rough, rugged side, he was such a emotional and spiritual being. And it's so hard to describe. He's so unique in that sense. And the thing is, he like truly knew like God. Like when I say spirituality, he knew that part and that aspect in the word. He was like a joy and a breath of fresh air to see. And I saw something of how somebody spoke of him. Like he didn't wait to become perfect before he spread God's word. And I think that's just like the epitome of like how you should be. Of course, he had flaws. We all have flaws. But he didn't wait to be perfect to talk about God and what God can do and the miracles and how he has affected his life. And that is the key right there. Even for me, like that's a lesson for me. I know even when we were going to do small groups back in the day when we first started small groups in our late 20s, just feeling like I had to all be all put together again, that whole thing in order to help other people and lead other people. But that's just like the pure example of like, no, you can have flaws and still preach about God and show how God has loved you and put you through so many things in life. So I just cherish DMX because he had such a big spirit. Like, even when you think about after Aaliyah passed, when he had that prayer and that video, like, oh, he was so touching to me. His essence.
I didn't listen to DMX as much, but I did hear his music. I thought he was a great artist. I always saw DMX praying. That's a crazy thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always seen him, like, in a praying moment. And then I think he was, like, 12 or 13. The dope and crack and all that stuff that happened. I ain't mean it by saying it's just great. But I think just in overall, how all of that just came into play was actually.
Well, I just learned about that. And when he passed, I didn't realize that an older person he looked up to laced a blunt or something with crack. And that's when he became addicted to crack cocaine at the age of 13. That's
so. So all my young people, watch what you're doing and watch what you're drinking.
Your
and smoking,
friends aren't
for real.
Really your friends you think at that age. Mm-hmm. And he just had a hard upbringing because he moved from house to house and didn't really have upbringing where he felt love. So I think that's where a lot of his pain came from, but you could hear it through his music, his passion.
That's right.
In that sense.
Yeah. And you got to give him respect. You know what I'm saying? A lot of time people like, oh, he was on. Nah, DMX did a lot of things. He moved a lot of people and helped a lot of lives, just like Nipsey Hussle. So, you know, you got to definitely show love to those rappers. And like I told my wife the other day, I was like, yo, the real hip hop is still not back to where it used to be. It's just not, you know what I'm saying? You got all this TV fashion stuff. You got all these little young people that want to do this hip hop stuff. But real hip hop is motivating people to do other things. That's why hip hop was made.
Yeah, when
hip hop
first came out, it was about struggle, but it was like motivating you out of it. And I guess I kind of came to terms with that because you sort of like fiend for the old stuff. But they said that when our generation stuff was out, you know, the 90s, early 2000s, you know, oh, it ain't like it used to be. And that's the truth. I guess you just have to get used to transforming and respect young kids coming up, you know, for what they do have. It's different, but there are some people out there that speaking some real stuff or rapping real stuff. I would say record industries control a lot of that, that we don't realize. And they select the people.
Yeah, that's real.
That they want to come out. It's a lot of young, smart, brilliant rappers out there that the industry doesn't want to really put them on a pedestal. So it's weird. You got white execs trying to shape the culture. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, there are some good ones. So on an uplift, though, you know, with Cammy and Coach B, we will be doing our episodes, constantly bringing it out. But I know we got some great people coming on. You know what I'm saying? And I know you do know about it, but just from some of the viewers out there, you know, and coming up with the lady from Marriage from First Sight will be on the scene on Cammy and Coach B. So that's going to be a great thing.
It's not just the lady. It's one of the psychologists.
Okay. All there, right. Right? But, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Dr. Viviana Coles.
Yes, she's
the young woman who's one of the psychologists and helps to coach the couples after they get married. I hope y'all watch that show because it's like amazing. If you don't, you need to check out that show before it's Married at First Sight.
Yeah. It's really fun because we be having debates about that.
We've been watching it for years though. So I guess, I've heard a lot of guys say their wives brought them on a show. So the show is basically like this. You take all these tests, these personality tests and what do you call it? Compatibility tests. Mm-hmm. And it's two people, a man and a woman. They just want to get married. So they want the experts, which is like a psychiatrist, a pastor, and a psychologist. Mm-hmm. They want mm-hmm. them to pair them up with person to marry. Like what would be their best match based on all these scores? So they pair them up. They have not seen a person ever in their lives. Mm-hmm. Haven't mm-hmm. spoke to them, looked at them, that's smelled
right.
them.
Right.
Anything, right?
That's tough.
And then they marry them at first sight. That's what it is. Married at first sight. So they take the blindfold off and it's like, bam. And you're like, who this? So, and that's your husband. That's your wife. So it's been a lot of season. We got to look at it. But we've been watching 11, this since the first season. 11, and when I tell you that thing been fire since the first season.
Yes, it has.
So
yes,
of course, as you would think, like it's a lot of pitfalls, but it's a lot of people who actually were very successfully married, kids, happily married and perfect. And you're like, oh my gosh, they matched perfectly. Very so true. We'll have one of the psychologists from that show and we're excited because this season is off the chain.
Yes,
I think it's one
of
the most wild seasons, to be honest, just from one of the couples.
That's right. But we also, we got on the business side, we also had a gentleman with the Airbnb on the investment side. So we actually going to also talk about MoFit because I know everybody's trying to get their health together. So we're going to bring her on the podcast thing. So that should be dope. I think right now, I think I saw her. She's a Black entrepreneur woman. She's very powerful. I know you even said a hit, but you was like, yo, this girl gets it in. Do you hear me? She gets it in.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's doing an actual workout program and she's going to be here and talk to you guys. That's going to be really great. That's going to be really fun. So we got a couple of little things coming up, man. And a lot of people, I know they're doing their stocks, guys, and the stock is down, but make sure you hold those stocks. Hold those stocks. You got to make sure you hold your stocks. Don't sell them. You only lose when you sell. You only lose when you sell. If you like my wife, she holds all the time. If you like me, I'm always trying to go. I'm a day trader, so I'll be trying to spend my money and trying to flip it and get some more money. But
when the stock dip, that's when you buy.
When the stock dip, that's when you buy.
It's not when you panic and sell, baby. It's when you buy more because it's going to come back up, especially when this pandemic is
over.
That's
true.
Oh, everything booming. So what should they be invested in?
Man.
With some good ones.
Well, I'm going to give you about two or three ones. You know, I seen Tesla drop so great. You should have bought some Tesla. I would definitely always stick in some Nike stock.
And guess what? The lower grade of Tesla is NIO. I've been pronouncing it Neo, but somebody said it was NIO, so I guess it is. But you know what? I didn't double check that myself, but it's NIO.
That
dropped a lot. I bought that at $6. That thing soared to like 70.
Yeah.
And dropped back down.
To like 30, 40 like, now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you buy some more of that. So that's like the Japanese version of Tesla. Airlines, that's a good one to buy at this point.
That's very true.
So it's about to pick back up.
Very true.
Y'all already missed the train for that Moderna vaccine, man. That thing was like at, I think, $16
eight months
ago or last summer. Now it's at like
The Roblox that just came out. The kids love it. That's a great new one thing that you can actually do. But also we actually looking at, that's what I want to say before we actually get off of here. I know a lot of time people be want to donate and want to give to our, what we doing, the Mumble Studios that we launched out and that we doing, people want to give it out. I think we set up the account now where you can actually give freely and you can actually give out any additional funding on, what is it? Patreon, right?
On our Patreon
account, guys. So that way we have a lot of people that are helping us and volunteer. We can actually still pay them guys and get them taken care of. So that's a really good thing,
guys. Guys, like what you're hearing, want to hear more, you know, want to let us know that, you know, something touched you or had you thinking or changed your perspective. go ahead and help your boy and your girl out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so we can keep funding it and all the people on our team and showing them love as well.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to wrap it up, man, until we see you guys again, man. We really enjoyed the moment. I know this moment, y'all always see us excited, but we got the new studio. We are excited. We are excited. But it has some real topics that we had to talk about. And next week,
about the new studio.
Oh, well,
I guess they'll see it right now, you know. Yeah. So if y'all listening, you know, check out our Instagram
on
page,
YouTube
Cammy
as well.
And Coach B. Mm-hmm. Take a look at our studio. Coach B hooked it up, really. It's all you. You know, I stopped my superwoman complex thing, right? And I said, you know, do you. I didn't make no fusses or anything. Just go ahead and do you. But, you know, Coach B, he asked me a couple of things. I was trying to stay out. So I said a couple of things and then I backed down. But he did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't do it without the team, man. Some of the fellas and some of the young ladies that work with us definitely gave me their opinion and gave me some thoughts about what we're trying to do. Again, guys, you know what we're doing. We have the Coach B and Powers. We also have the Mumble Studios, guys. If you want a platform, we'll bring it right to you, guys. We want to set you up. We want to promote you. We want to do some great things in your business. And you don't have to look for no one. Just hit us up and we're going to give you a call, and I know our producer contact you guys. And guess what? We want to empower Black businesses and Black companies right now. That's our goal. Bring it back to you so you can advertise and get your business out there, get your brand out there, in other words, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a wrap, man. Again, guys, this is your boy Coach B.
Hey, it's Cammy. So we're gonna be back to you. I think we're doing it what, every couple of weeks?
Every couple
we'll
of weeks. Yep.
All right, I'm happy to be back, guys.
Peace and blessings, guys. Y'all take care.